It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
Dalton is in empty. Here's the snap. Pocket holds. Andy fires downfield. 1-6. Touchdown. End zone. Center cut. Deontay Johnson.
Just a super confident throw by Andy Dalton right here.
Yeah, it'd be fun to be back. You know, for me, I think the biggest thing is Chicago is one of the teams that I haven't beaten in my career. There's only a couple of them. I think there's three left, and unfortunately one of them is the Carolina Panthers, so I'm not going to be able to do that. But, Chicago and Dallas, another team that I played for, is another one that I haven't beat. So, I think that's kind of the bigger thing. I've got friends and people that are there that are going to come to the game, and so it'll be fun to see those guys. But, I enjoyed my time in Chicago. It would be fun to be back there.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
That's right. Andy Dalton is going to take on the Bears. He's now the Carolina Panthers' starting quarterback. We'll see for how long that's going to be. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show. Jason Leisure is sitting in for Matt Spiegel. If you're just jumping into the Twitch, he's here. He's rocking his Mariners cap. And he apparently got the memo about navy blue and white t-shirt underneath.
It's a good look for fall.
It is a good look for fall. I agree with you. There's a lot of stuff that we got to get to with you specifically, especially since you just made it back from Halas Hall. But let's talk about the Panthers first, because our guest Chris McClain from Mac and Bone on WFNZ in Charlotte is here to discuss how all of this got the way that it is. Chris, thanks for joining us here on The Score.
What's up, fellas? What's going on?
Oh, not a lot. There seems to be a lot going on with your franchise. I'd love to know, what have the last 4 weeks been like in Charlotte?
The first two of those 4 weeks were horrendous, embarrassing. Somehow the Panthers got worse from the 2-15 season. Somehow Bryce Young got worse from a rookie year that was statistically one of the worst of all time for a high first-round draft pick. So those first 2 weeks were not fun at all. I have to admit, I was shocked that, you know, a coach who is the quarterback whisperer, right, that was brought here, we thought, to fix Bryce Young, I was shocked that he benched him that quickly and kind of gave up on him, at least for the time being, that quickly. But I'll be damned if we're not just happy right now that we are playing competent offensive football for the first time in a long time with Andy Dalton. So I think right now we're just kind of enjoying the fact that it's been competitive. The offense has not looked like a peewee football offense. It is not the start to the season that we hoped for Bryce Young. Those first 2 weeks were ugly, man.
Chris, the offense not looking like a peewee offense is a low bar to clear.
It is.
So I don't know if you guys should plan the parade route in Charlotte quite yet, but how much of a realization is there? You look at the Panthers, they're awful. They're going toward their seventh straight losing season. The Bears are unproven. Like, they haven't gotten anywhere yet, but they appear to be headed the right direction. How much conscientiousness is there with the Panthers in their building of the fact that everything that is going right for the Bears right now could have been theirs?
I mean, I'm sure they know. I'm sure they see what has happened with this trade, and where the Bears drafted because of this trade. But I don't necessarily think Dave Canales is worried about that. You know, it's a new regime. Even Dan Morgan, who was the assistant GM at the time, he's now calling the shots. He's done a hell of a job improving this offensive line, bringing in a couple of guards, paying $150 million for a couple of guards. Deontay Johnson at wide receiver is a gazillion times better than anything that was on the team last year. They're running the ball pretty well with Chuba Hubbard. So I do think there's progress here. I just think there's that problem that we might have made the worst or one of the worst trades in the history of the NFL, and y'all have sent us Christmas cards for that. But I do think there is some progress being made here in terms of trying to build this organization the right way. But I don't expect anybody outside of Charlotte to see that progress. You know what I mean? They got to do a little more than two decent weeks, you know?
I'm pretty sure when a 312 area code pops up on the phones in that office, they kick that to voicemail. We're not taking that call.
I was just glad to hear Spiegel wasn't on the damn show. Last time I came on with you guys, wow, he had so many damn jokes about the trade, about Bryce. So I was so glad to hear that he is off today. Beautiful timing.
So look, I am a graduate of the University of Alabama, so I'm not going to rail against Bryce Young for what has happened. I would love to know, though, from your perspective, when you're watching him, what have you figured out was his fault? And what wasn't his fault?
Yeah, it's interesting because last year I was on the side of, and I think a lot of people were nationally too, you know, talking heads and stuff and the analysts. I was on the side of, holy crap, they have dropped him in to a horrendous situation. I mean, and I still believe that. The offensive line was a real mess last year. Frank Reich and the coaching staff. I mean, you had guys going to ownership behind each other's backs, trying to get the owner to intervene in how you coach Bryce Young's footwork. I mean, it was a train wreck, and I don't know if any quarterback – I know no quarterback could have thrived. I'm sure C.J. Stroud would have been better, but I'm not sure how good he would have been. So last year, I stood up for Bryce, and I kind of thought, okay, if Dave Canales is can be the guy that got stuff out of Geno Smith and turned around the career of Geno and Baker, turned that career back around, and you've got an offensive line you addressed, and you went out and you got Deontay Johnson and Xavier Lee Gett, as wide receivers, I kind of thought, okay, now we're going to see a better Bryce. Again, when we saw how shell shocked and jittery he looked in the pocket in those first two games, it was like he still has like some form of PTSD from all the hits and the 62 sacks he took in the first year. It's like David Carr syndrome or something. So I had defended Bryce, but those first two games, I mean, the way he was playing was worse than at any point last year. And Andy Dalton has proved in 2 weeks, crap, look at the offensive line. There is time to throw. Look at the receivers. There are guys that are making plays, and there's guys getting separation that didn't get last year. The offense appears to be able to function, where last year we questioned the offense. So it's been a drastic change for me in terms of the way I look at it this year. I don't know if Bryce is going to get another chance. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon because I think they want to be able to kind of evaluate the roster. They couldn't even evaluate the roster with Bryce. He was either dropping back, feeling pressure that wasn't there and fleeing the pocket, or the second week it was check downs immediately and not even looking at your progression. So it was impossible to even see if we had anything that was improved, you know?
But see, Chris, I'm of the belief that he's probably a really good player. I'm at this point with Carolina where they, for me, are the disaster franchise of the NFL. The way you look at the Steelers, the Ravens, the Seahawks, and you say those teams do it all right, those teams are going to get the most out of anybody they bring in, whether it's a draft pick or signing. Carolina's the opposite for me, where I can't judge anybody on what they do in Carolina. I can't judge Frank Reich off of that. I mean, you're going to throw that on one side of the ledger, and on the other side of the ledger, offensive coordinator for a champion team, a winning record as a head coach, Bryce Young, like best prospect in that draft as a prospect at the time, then has already been benched two games into the season. You know, I don't know how you can evaluate anybody in the mess and the dysfunction that's been in there. And I suspect what the problem is now with Bryce Young is they should trade him. There's probably teams that would want him. I keep wondering why Miami hasn't come calling for Bryce Young. But I bet anything that Tepper is sitting there not wanting to get a sixth round pick in return for him or something, because he wants to try to save face on a terrible draft pick that he meddled in and forced.
I mean, listen, I'm not going to argue when you tell me that our franchise has been a disaster, our owner's been horrible, we got the worst record in the league since he took over. That would be like if someone told me I had a face for radio. I got a mirror. You know what I mean? I can see that. I understand what
right,
we
I'll,
have
I'll
been.
Refrain from telling you the obvious, then. That's always been the book on the team here, and it's helpful to see some perspective now and say, oh, it could be worse. Like, you could say whatever you want about George McCaskey, but he's not doing this.
Like, so it's a mess. We have been livid. I mean, when you have an owner that is meddling and, you know what I mean, self-sabotaging an organization, I mean, you have no chance. So it's been a nightmare, and that's the fear, is that the owner never figures it out, never realizes, I got to hire the football guys and let them do the job. What I'm saying is the last 2 weeks, Andy Dalton has been able to succeed. It's been night and day. And the players' energy in the locker room and the things that they say, I mean, you could tell the players were defeated. Bryce Young was playing quarterback at such a low level that, like, you could see it on players' face. First of all, you saw it on Bryce's face.
Yeah.
He looked like, he was carrying
the world on that giant backpack that he carries.
That's right. He had the whole world inside that dang thing, and it was hurting his back. So, I mean, I think now they look like a competent football team for the last 2 weeks. I think you guys would have much rather played against Bryce Young, is all I'm saying. Am I saying we're going to roll in there and win? No, I think they've got a chance to do it. I think if they had Bryce Young in there, I think the Bears would beat them by 24 points. I mean, it was that horrible in weeks one and two.
The balance of having an owner that cares versus having an owner that meddles, it's so delicate. Like, it's so, because I mean, there's so many fan bases, they're like, man, I wish my owner would care enough to get involved when things are going bad. When you guys talk about this stuff, like, kind of, how does it feel to discuss it? Because there is a part that you go, of course you want a hobbyist owner to care about the thing that he's putting on the field.
That is true. I mean, I've always felt like, because some fans will say, well, he doesn't care if we win. He just wants to make money. And it's like, he's got $20 billion. Does he want to make more? Yeah, that's how people get $20 billion, right? They want to, at every opportunity, they want to make money. But I believe he wants to win badly. And I do think that's part of the problem. I think it's the classic case of this guy's a type A personality, a guy that succeeded in life in other endeavors, right? Hedge fund business and stuff like that. And I just think he feels like, I want to win so badly, and I've won in life because of all the moves I've made. So let me get my hands on these things, and I can easily turn it around. I just think he's one of those owners that underestimates that football is a completely different world than the business world. And you've got to – and then the hires he made, too, the Matt Rhule hire, gave him $63 million, made him a top five highest-paid coach in the league for a guy that had 1 year of assistant experience in the NFL. The GM hire of Scott Fitterer blew up badly. So it's just – there's no doubt. Like, I will always say he's trying, he wants to win, but you just nailed it. Like, that ain't good enough, right? Like, that's a starting point, but at some point he's got to make better hires. I mean, we are early on. I'm hoping that these early signs are showing that Canales and Dan Morgan, the GM, are good hires for a change. But again, he's got to not meddle. And if this team loses the next five games and they get to 1-6, like, he's got to resist temptation to try to intervene. So I feel like it's headed on the right path, but by no means do I trust that David Tepper is going to keep those dang hands out of the football operation. Like, that's something that he's got to prove for a while here. And it's terrible, man. The worst thing in sports, y'all know this, is when you have an owner that is bad, and an owner that's the problem. Everybody else you can get rid of. It's like, yeah, we got
right.
People texting.
He seems like a fun dude,
fans.
At least, though.
we got fans that text in and say, this Tepper is horrible. How do we get rid of him? And it's like, unless I can plant some sort of evidence of him doing something nefarious and get an NFL scandal going and get him, like, there's no way to fire the owner. I mean, some fans are hoping you could fire an owner, and I got nothing for him.
Although, I mean, you guys kind of did, though, before.
Let's not walk back over.
I know, but I'm just saying. Chris knows people. He can make some stuff happen.
That's it. We have to find him doing some Jerry Richardson type stuff.
I
think that's your only hope.
The way you do it is something that I could never imagine David Tepper doing. The way you do it is what happened here with the Bears, where people have always ranted for you. I wish the McCaskies would sell the team. That's not going to happen.
No.
But what they did was they hired a president, Kevin Warren, from the outside, and they gave him total control. The family owns the team. The family makes the money. But Kevin Warren runs the Bears. That's as close as you're going to get to that team being sold. That takes humility to do that. That's not something I think David Tepper is going to do. And this is where it's really interesting to me with Ryan Poles being bypassed for that open GM job back in 2021, Lawrence, where it's like so often in life, you don't get what you want. And it's for your own good, because he described that as a thudding disappointment. And think about how incremental and slow the rebuild has been here. It's been maddeningly slow. That 2022 season was a complete waste. Total burn it down, 3-14, then very conservative, very careful spending in free agency, protecting all of the future assets, not boxing yourself in financially. How do you think that's going over with David Tepper if Ryan Poles gets that job back in 2021?
Probably not.
It ain't happening.
By the way, you brought up humility and David Tepper. That is definitely something that I'm not sure the man will ever have, for God's sakes. My goodness. Just an ounce of it. If we can give him an ounce of it, I'd take it.
Well, you don't have to be humble if you know everything. I mean, like, Bill Belichick didn't have to be humble. Don Shula didn't have to be humble. But if you happen to not know everything about how to put a team together in a personnel department, then that might be a good time to show some humility. Chris,
guys, it's humble. Some of the stuff that Tepper's done too, in turn, because you just nailed it. It's like, for example, he owns the MLS team, Charlotte FC. By the way, we put four goals on the Chicago Fire. So who the hell has bragging rights now?
Damn, yeah, right.
4-3
first
win.
I'm hearing of that team. So
I know that's upset your listeners greatly.
Didn't know anyway. That was the thing until now. hang on. Let me get that in my notes. Charlotte, what? Yeah. What are they called?
I just broke news to y'all. What happened last night? But anyway, he doesn't meddle with the soccer. The soccer, he lets, you know, Zoran Kroneta, who is the, you know, head of the football department, run it, and he doesn't meddle with it. You know why? Because he knows he doesn't know crap about soccer. What's he going to tell the organization to do? There's a striker playing over there in Slovakia that they should add in a transfer window. Like, he concedes, I don't know anything about it. But with football, he was a minority owner with the Steelers. He grew up in Pittsburgh, a Steeler fan. He was a minority owner with the Steelers. Well, he also was part of a minority ownership group that tried to get Mike Tomlin fired when he was there. He won't tell you about that. So it's like, the problem is what you just said, the fact he thinks he knows football. And at some point, hopefully it'll dawn on him. I mean, he came in, and one of the first things he did is told Ron Rivera, right, a guy that's been a great defensive coordinator in this league, great defensive mind, was a great head coach before Tepper got here. He came in and told Ron Rivera, you're switching from a 4-3 to a 3-4 defense, because that's what we did in Pittsburgh. Like, it's unbelievable.
How's everyone doing down there? How are you doing, Chris? Because I know Helene has caused problems for everybody.
Yeah.
How you guys doing?
Charlotte's doing good. We got off pretty easy. But if you go, you know, two and a half hours away to the mountains, Asheville and Boone, it's a wasteland. I mean, it's so sad. There are small towns that have been wiped out completely, neighborhoods that have been wiped out completely. Virginia, real bad in certain areas of Virginia, East Tennessee. I mean, it's usually when you get a storm like that, you know, you don't expect the mountains four hours inland to get devastated like that. I mean, it's in shock what happened to them. They got so much rain there. It's destructive. I mean, they're going to be trying to rebuild that area for years, man. It's really sad. And we got a lot of listeners that have family members there. I mean, hell, we got texts this week from folks that said they still hadn't heard, trying to make contact with their parents or aunts and uncles. And it had been like 5 or 6 days, and they still hadn't heard from them. Search parties are still going on. So, man, it really got destroyed there. And, It's been tough to see what they went through, no doubt about it.
We appreciate you sharing that, and know that I know it seems trivial because of what it is that we do for a living, but know that what you guys are doing is offering some comfort to people, some normalcy to people, and they love hearing you. So don't ever change, man. And we appreciate you jumping on and telling us what's happening down there.
No, you got it. Thanks for asking, guys. Appreciate that. And I hope I did not ruin the mood of the Windy City now that I've informed you that Charlotte FC beat the Fire 4-3. I hope you guys are okay.
Jason had never heard of that team before you even said something. Chris, stay well, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, guys, be good. And tell Spiegel I was happy he wasn't there, all right?
Oh, we got that. You said that twice.
Oh, don't worry. Yeah. We're going to play it for him. We're not even going to tell him. We're going to play it for him that you are happy that he's not here. That is great.
He wasn't, like, glad to have me, but he was glad to not have Matt.
Yeah, that is rough sledding.
No, he told me off the air how much he liked you a lot.
Oh, thanks, Shane. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And there we go.
So, yeah, see?
It's a win-win.
You've come in here, and you've already made fast friends.
And I learned about, what was it called? Charlotte FC.
So football club.
Okay. They don't have a name. It's not like the Charlotte.
That's what they're called.
Cougars or
the they're the Charlotte Observers.
The Charlotte Observers. There we go.
That's what they're doing. And it would probably matter if the Fire could consistently get good, but they can't seem to get right no matter what, and that's problematic.
Have they been good since we had Bastian Schweinsteiger in studio when you were doing nights?
I am so glad that you remember that.
That was like the first big guest that I ever booked as a part-timer. I don't think they've been good since then.
Shane, that was a huge moment. I make the argument that he is on a very short list of the most popular people that have ever been in the Score studio.
Those Germans, man.
Well, I mean, even at the time, like you consider, like, and his wife was here too.
Yeah, she was here too.
We tried
tennis player.
Yeah. We tried to get her on the air, but she was like, "Nah, I don't do your stupid radio show." But Bass just sat here for like 20 minutes and like talked with us, and it was awesome. I got to even like do my German thing, and I was like, I said, "Is it wrong if I pronounce your name Schweinsteiger?" He was like, "No, that's how you actually say it." I was like, "Okay, good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you speak some German?
No, not at
you
all.
Just kind of know how to do the accent or the
pronunciation? But I listened to, you know, you listen to games of him scoring goals, and that's what the announcers would say.
Okay.
So he was like, "No, that's it. That's how you say it." He was delightful. He was really, really delightful. That concludes all of our talk about the Chicago Fire for today. Jason Leisure is here. He's just made it back from Halas Hall. There's a lot for us to discuss. There's some stuff that I want to go through because you're there every day. You're in the locker room. You're talking with these people. There's the Shane Waldron thing, and we're going to play a big chunk of Shane Waldron addressing what I think a lot of Bears fans are curious about. When we play it back, I want to get your thoughts on it. You cool with that?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. Jason Leisure is in for Spiegs. This is Spiegel and Holmes. Back after this, talking Bears on the Score.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.